Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 12-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining. Drop, keep a screaming for more. Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Wise boy, Woody Dragon Wine.
Hey!
Wise boy, Woody Dragon Wine.
We're always doing that here on Sunday morning on the Sip & Stew Show. On this little steamy, warm Sunday morning.
It's already funky outside.
Oh, the heat index.
You can hear the sun crackling.
Yeah, hear it right now. I hear it right now.
It's sizzling.
So, anyway, welcome to the Sip & Stew Show. We've got a little scratchiness going on.
Well, it is the allergy season.
Yeah, it is, even for studio equipment. So, anyway, we're going to try to have an interesting show today.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or not, yeah. Steve's over there furiously typing away, so hopefully it clears up there in a bit.
Hopefully we can get through this.
We got it quiet.
That's whenever you talk. No. It's whenever I talk. Yeah. Anyway. So, Stu, how was your week this week?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Hot.
Mine was, too. It's a little warm, steamy. I just can't stand this humidity, which I know everybody can.
And it isn't even cranked up yet.
But that new air conditioner we got at home, at the house, it works because this is a heat pump. And I had a heat pump about 20-plus years ago, and I wasn't too thrilled with it. But this one, even after the AC part cuts off, it still runs to pull the humidity out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, it works good. It really does.
Good.
Hopefully we're getting our $14,000 out of it.
So, my gosh.
You buy a house, and 3 months later, you got to put a brand-new AC system in.
Hey, there's a reason why the people were selling the house.
Right, maybe. Hey, look at it. Hey, sound like a professional
pretty
DJ
fancy
now.
Listen to the bass.
Bass. Yeah. How's that sound? Hey, that sounds good and clean.
Less crackly, Steve. Fine job. Is it temporary?
Yeah, well, no, we're listening through the board, as it were, it's called program, whereas normally we monitor through external what the listener is hearing. So that's what they're hearing, and I'm trying to...
So all that crackling, they weren't hearing?
They're hearing.
Oh, okay.
Now you're not. So I'm trying to work on the outside.
Well, that's one of the benefits of being a celebrity, right, Mike? We're crackle-free.
Yeah.
In the studio.
Yeah.
remember the song FM, No Static at All?
Yeah.
Who was that? Steely Dan?
Steely Dan.
Yeah.
Off the FM soundtrack.
Yeah.
God, you're old.
I'm reminiscing. Yeah. I've been
reminiscing
all
Not to be confused
morning.
With UHF, the great Weird Al Yankovic movie.
That's it.
Which featured the line, buy a car from me or I'll club this baby seal.
Oh, Lordy mercy. Mercy, mercy. So, anyway.
Hey, after last week's show, do you know what I had? I left here and had?
What'd you have?
I went to Waffle House, got some hash browns.
I saw that. You did post that. What did I do? I don't remember.
Home and took
I don't
a
even
nap.
Remember this morning sometimes. But I think we grilled steaks last Sunday. So, anyway,
with no hash browns?
No hash browns. I think we had Bob Evans garlic mashed potatoes.
Oh, so fancy.
I love them Bob Evans, man. They're good stuff. They're
you ever
quick.
Eaten at a Bob Evans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, 2020, I was looking at yesterday because yesterday was Prince's birthday, and I remember going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I took a picture of his guitar and a picture of him, and I posted, you know, commemorating his birthday. And but we were going to, is it Camden or Canton, Ohio?
Canton, yeah.
To the to the Football Hall of Fame.
Right, Pro Football Hall and, of Fame. Not NFL Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Well, it's actually not pro football, but they have pro football. It's just Football Hall of Fame.
Is that what now, it says there?
Yeah. They got they got all football, any and all football. They take you through the history of it, the sport. And they even got football in there. So we were going in. We had breakfast at Bob Evans on our way there. Yeah, and you get there and you look down our interstate and there's a like bigger than life yellow goalpost way off in the distance. And it's power lines.
Mm-hmm.
And they have power lines that look like goalposts.
That's very cool.
That is. We had to go by there after we got through 4 hours later.
Yeah.
You know, because it takes about 4 hours to go through that thing.
Yeah.
Just like the World War II Museum and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So, man. Yeah. Good stuff. Good times.
Yeah. Well, for those who are South locked as opposed to landlocked, they're South locked. They never leave the South.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Evans is the Midwestern version of Cracker Barrel.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly like it a lot better than Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
It was very good. Cracker Barrel has, especially of late, just not lived up to what it used to be. And again,
change.
like my dad used to describe it back when they first came out. Cracker Barrel tastes like Yankees trying to do Southern food.
Kind of like a Yankee trying to pull off a Southern accent in a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh,
Hollywood cannot do a Southern accent.
No, they can't.
Figured out the mute button on his laptop.
Oh, the volume, yeah.
It's so anyway, quite a technology day today.
Yeah. We're technically challenged today.
Yeah, and I mentioned it last week that they were one of the pioneers of the whole bowl thing. They had those hash brown breakfast bowls back in the early 90s. And yeah, I like Bob Evans. So it's more than just that sausage you see in the grocery store, folks. Mm.
Well, I hadn't seen any sausage at the grocery store, but I have seen the mashed potatoes. They got like five different varieties of their mashed potatoes. But I like the garlic mashed potatoes. They're good.
Yeah. They I guess you could say job. Like Boston Market was a extreme Yankee version. Of course, I don't think Boston Market still exists, except in frozen food departments.
Yeah.
But I used to eat at the Boston Market in Nashville all the time. It was pretty good. I mean, the main thing I got was Yankee pot roast. That's cool to be able to walk into a place and get pot roast.
I can't remember where. Maybe it was Tallahassee last time I ate at a Boston Market. Yeah. First time and last time.
Yeah. Well, since we're talking about chain restaurants, I watched a really interesting video this week. Most chain restaurants in this country are failing.
Oh,
as they should, because their business model is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Build, build, build. That's not always the right thing to do. Big, huge menus. Chili's is booming right now. It's one of the most popular restaurant chains in the world right now because they got a new CEO. And what did he do? He stepped in. He said, problem we're having is our menus are too big. We're going to do a burger. We're going to do a chicken sandwich. He said, we were doing two kinds of chicken tenders. One was in Japanese panko and the rest were traditional battered. So we looked at the numbers. Only 20% were getting the Asian style chicken. So get it out of here. You know, just get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did. They trimmed the menu down. He said, now with a smaller menu, we can concentrate on better ingredients, better presentation, better execution. What he did was he took the small mom and pop approach and put it on an entire chain, and it's saving the chain. Because Chili's was close to bankruptcy. Folks, the restaurant chains that may not survive the next year would shock you. McDonald's as a corporation. Burger King as a corporation.
Burger King's had problems throughout the last couple of
days. And McDonald's has been suffering too. That's why they initially went to the breakfast all day thing, because nobody was going there anytime at breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Hardee's is the same issue, Hardee's / Carl's Jr. And the thing that saved Hardee's, the thick burger, doing a restaurant-style burger, well, of course, they got rid of that. So they're probably not going to be here in a year.
I wonder because
Pizza Hut, the largest pizza maker in the world, may not be here a year from now.
Yeah.
Simply because they got too big. They had to, anytime, the larger you get, the lower your quality is going to be.
You're diluting it.
It's a handoff.
Diluting it.
Yeah, there's no way to do it. I always give the example of Sonny's Barbecue, which we all admit is okay barbecue. Well, the original Sonny's in Jacksonville, Florida was probably fantastic. But Georgia has a different barbecue style than Jacksonville, and Alabama does, and Mississippi, and you better believe Texas and Kansas and all these other places do. So they dumbed down what they originally did to make it generic. And now the quality is not what it was when it was one restaurant in Jacksonville.
251-343-0106. When we come back, I'm going to expand on what Stu's talking about a little bit more.
All right, good.
Make me happy. Make me feel fine.
Make me feel fine.
Mike Bailey, Stuart Reb Donald. Devoted to the complete gastronomic experience.
I want a big butter and egg man.
Mike and Stu big on butter. FM Talk 106.5.
Did that bump right there say feeding breaking news? What do you feed breaking news? Lunchables?
I don't know.
Okay.
I do know.
Yeah. Before you gentlemen, you have a piece of fat Elvis bread.
Elvis bread.
Fat Elvis bread.
Fat Elvis.
Bananas.
Nanners.
Peanut butter chips.
Peanut butter.
And bacon.
And bacon?
Yeah. This is my first attempt making it. The bacon kind of gets lost. I think probably bigger pieces instead of the smaller bacon bits so that you could get an actual chunk of bacon and gnaw on it.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, it's not more pronounced. But the rest of it's great.
More like a banana nut bread, almost, but not but quite.
With those peanut butter chips digging in there.
Not quite zucchini.
Yeah, except the since the accident that I had where they took out 5 feet of colon, duct taped the rest back together, my doctor had told me that before the accident I was developing diverticulitis.
Ooh.
And that because of the accident, I would probably develop it later on. For those who don't know, diverse diseases, there's diverticulosis, diverticulitis. Probably everyone sitting in this room right now has some going on. It is pockmarks on the inside of your intestines just from years of you eating stuff.
Hmm.
And seeds and broken up pieces of nuts will get caught in those little pockmarks and get infected. And Mike knows I had a little rush to the hospital about 2 months ago, and I'm thinking it was because I got sick in the middle of the night and threw up my blood pressure medicine. So it was a high blood pressure event. And I went to the hospital for. So I've started backing off on the nuts and seeds, which I absolutely love. They're incredibly healthy. And so this is peanut butter chips. Well, you can still have those foods, Steve. You just have to avoid the little pieces. So maybe I don't eat as much pecan pie, but I can make a pecan butter and make a pie from that.
Wow.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. When he first talked to me about it, I started looking through ways that because I absolutely love nuts. I love berries. But strawberries and raspberries, those little seeds,
right,
are an issue. The poppy seeds on a bun, sesame seeds on a bun can be an issue.
Kiwi.
I was about to say
kiwi seeds.
Right.
So, yeah.
So I've kind of backed off that in there. Like when I want raspberry now, I use a raspberry seedless jam, more like the Polar, where it's just fruit and pectin and there's no added sugar.
Right.
So I still get all the flavors and everything. I do lose that texture. So I went with the peanut butter chips instead of actual nuts
it's
and really the banana good. Bread.
Not bad. I like it.
But I do want the bacon to be more pronounced.
I was going
to
say, and the peanut butter's kind of lost in there.
Yeah, it's just peanut butter chips. I just want that little punch every now and then.
Yeah.
But I went to Piggly Wiggly last week. All these new grocery stores coming to town.
Aldi.
Give me Piggly Wiggly. Better prices, better selection, better quality. That's what I'm finding.
Great people.
Yeah. I did try the new Aldi and Sims. Not for me. Aldi is designed for those people who eat the same 5 or 6 meals every night of the week, every week, their entire life. And that's
fine. Kind of like it was when I was a kid.
And in bulk.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It is not a place for people who like my two favorite things, selection and quality.
Right.
Their quality is not terrible. It's just not great. It's mediocre. Their prices are higher than most of the places around for the same time.
Quality on items like fresh produce or meats?
No, I'm not a fan of their produce and meat section at all.
Okay.
And most people aren't. But their organic produce is cheaper than anywhere else in town. So there's, there's life is a series of trade-offs.
Sure.
See, I've got like meats and vegetables and produce. I like to buy it the day I'm going to eat it.
Yeah.
I like it fresh.
I loved when I lived right next to a grocery store and I could drive home from work, park my car, walk to the grocery store, get my groceries for the night, walk back home because it was 100 yards.
Yeah.
That was awesome. But, yeah, I'd much rather buy – if you don't have a family that you have to plan meals for, you know, just like a somebody running a platoon of soldiers, it's silly to go in and buy groceries one day a week and spend $300 or $400.
I agreed. Yeah.
And then because you always end up with food going bad, you end up with food in your pantry that goes past the expiration date. Just buy what you need when you need it. Well, when you're buying for one or two
people. Romaine lettuce. Right. You can buy romaine lettuce with three heads in it, in the bag, and then you end up throwing two of them away.
Unless you grill them.
Well, I know that. But
never heard of that.
I never know what my day's going to throw at me. And if I try to plan meals ahead of time, and I buy the stuff, something always happens, and I never get to eat those meals. Mm.
Or and a they, craving gets the, you.
Yeah. Well, I go and walk in the store, walk down the aisle, say, all right. And I just look at the meat case, look at the produce, and say.
See what's on special, see what sounds good.
See what seems good. Yeah, sounds good. And then I buy then.
Right.
And my grandfather was that way. He wouldn't eat any meat that had been in the refrigerator overnight. He wanted it fresh from the grocery store that day. Mm-hmm. That had been probably set days.
And well, he probably grew up in an era where the refrigerator was a box with a huge chunk of ice in the bottom of it.
He did. So, yeah. But that's the way I am. And to be honest with you, nothing against Aldi. I don't get it.
It's not for me. Either. But the people that love it do love it because them exactly what they're looking for.
They do.
There are two types of people in the world. There are live-to-eaters. That's you and I. We live to have a good meal.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's eat-to-livers, which are people that are like, they find the whole process annoying, that they have to stop three or four times during the course of their day and put food inside of them that's just going to make them go to the bathroom later and take more time out of their day.
Yeah.
I see their whole point of view, that, you know, that eating is just an annoyance.
I enjoy grazing more than I do sitting down and just having a meal. Well, now I do like my lunch.
I'm one of those. Yeah. It's a necessary evil.
Lunch.
But I've got a buddy that if his wife made him a tuna fish sandwich for every meal, he would eat a tuna fish sandwich for every meal.
Lunch is a socializing thing for me.
Hmm.
It really is. And regardless of where I eat, where I do, I'm going to see somebody I know and we're going to talk and yada, yada, yada. And collect thoughts for the day and kind of plan the rest of my day while I'm at lunch. Hmm. And I take my time eating lunch. I really do. Got that from the Europeans and when I was been in their areas. And,
right.
You know, dinner, I like to cook it, eat it, clean up, and go and get done with it and not sit around the table.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Supper.
Yeah. Dinner, supper.
Dinner, you know, dinner down here, supper at home.
Yeah. Well, but, the selection thing at Aldi bothers me. There's one brand of anything.
Yeah,
I went in. I was just like, man, Friday is usually frozen pizza day for me. Or I'll get a fresh one, Sim's House of Pizza or someplace. But usually I can get a frozen pizza Dollar General for $3.95.
Hmm.
You know, so cheapest thing I could find at Aldi was $4. Wow. And it was a brand I've never heard of. And they had all different varieties of frozen pizza, but just from that one brand. And that's the way the whole thing was. For me, that's not okay. I don't like DiGiorno's pizza because they're very unhealthy. They use a gas in them to make them rise. It's a major carcinogen. Freschetta pulls off the exact same pizza just using the natural carbon dioxide emissions that come from baking bread.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I used to like freschetta on the self-rising.
Yeah, I like the freschetta.
Yeah.
But the DiGiorno, because of the gas that they add into it to make it rise better, it's...
My beef there is any kind of self-rising, never in the middle. It's kind of like the old pan pizza with Pizza Hut. Well, I mean, just even when I was managing Pizza Hut, we would do the little pan pizzas, and still you'd have that little pocket in the middle of dough and
Steve,
not done.
Steve, you know as well as I do, Pizza Hut, everything came in a bag of dry. You added water to it.
Right.
The sauce was a powder you added water to. Yes. The crust was a powder that you added water to. So that's... Now, Chicago deep dish pizza, whole different story.
Yes.
Lou Malnati's, oh my gosh. That place is heaven. Mike, they even have a pizza for you for dessert.
Really?
Yeah. They take an iron skillet, about a 4 or 5 inch, and just press chocolate chip cookie dough into it.
Yep.
Bake it in that thing, and then gussy it up like a sundae. Oh, my gosh, yeah. That thing is so good.
And rich.
Now, I'm gonna tell you what my favorite store-bought brand pizza is. It's the Walmart. As you walk in the door, they got
frozen. That's a fresh-made pizza.
Yeah, fresh-made.
Yeah, so that deli really made. Is a different.
I don't like frozen pizzas. I'd rather walk in at Walmart,
some brands
walk
for
there,
you.
And get the one with all the meat and all the vegetables on it.
Yeah.
And that's what I like. I like the thin crust, too.
251-343-0106 if you want to tell Mike your favorite topping on pizza.
For more than a decade, Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't smoke, I don't shoot smack, but I got a spicy monkey riding on my back. Don't eat pancakes, too much sugar and donuts. I will pay for gumbo. I will pay for gumbo.
Hey, Stu, earlier.
Hey, Michael.
We were talking about chain restaurants and right. such. And we were talking about Chili's.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be that thing they're doing now, that what they're working out now, seems to be like less is more, and,
right.
and probably less is better. Yeah. I have my sister-in-law has two sisters. They're mm-hmm. identical twins. One of them went to work as a waitress at Chili's outside mm-hmm. of Dallas there. She has worked her way up. She's in the corporate
Chili's
office.
Chili's is from
now.
Texas. Yeah. yeah. In Brinker. She's with Brinker International.
I guess so. Yeah. But she works in the – she's like an area director now, mm-hmm. and she's done well with them. And she is really proud of how they've done their company. And with all these chains that are shutting down.
Yeah.
And she is really proud. And she posts it on her Facebook page and how – well they treat her, how well they treat the employees. You know, there is no perfect scenario for
right.
everybody.
Right.
But overall, in the big picture, they seem to do a really good job with their employees and promote within.
One of the things they had Brinker International offered, I've worked for two different Brinker chains. I worked for Chili's up in Nashville. I worked for Macaroni Grill here in Mobile for a while.
Mm-hmm. I love that place.
Not a microwave in the restaurant.
Yeah.
They don't do microwave food in Macaroni Grill.
Mm-hmm.
They don't allow them in there. The bartenders hated it because they couldn't heat up chocolate syrup for chocolate martinis and stuff. But, well, just do it the old-fashioned way. Have hot water sitting there. But they had this tuition assistance for all college students
mm-hmm.
that they would help you pay for books and stuff like that. So Brinker, the two largest restaurant chains, at least used to be, I don't know currently, were Applebee's, which only owned Applebee's.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Brinker International, which had Maggio's Pizza, Chili's, Macaroni Grill, and, it seems like another Italian concept. But, On the Border Cafe.
Okay.
Another Mexican concept.
Okay, yeah, I've eaten at those.
Yeah, and On the Border Cafe. And Applebee's was kind of like the model you didn't want to follow, the totalitarian, you buy everything from us. You're paying more for your ingredients than you would if you sourced them locally, but hey, we're making gobs of money.
Mm-hmm.
And the franchisees may or may not make money, but the company makes money.
Mm-hmm.
More restaurants than anybody else all across the world. Then Brinker was they found some choice individual restaurants. Chili's is an example. It started with a couple of frat boys in Texas who had a burger bar. They liked the concept. They purchased the concept from them. And that is how Brinker built theirs. And they've done a pretty good job with brand management and stuff like that. And then there's a third big wheel in that, and that's Darden out of Florida, which it was Olive Garden, Red Lobster, Pier 17, Smoky Bones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Smoky Bones. It was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah Smoky Bones. We never got the barbecue because it was mediocre, but they had a bison burger, which was awesome
mm-hmm.
and healthy. Tastes better than beef burger, and it's better for you than chicken. Yeah. So,
I just get just get perturbed with these restaurants that try to be everything to everybody.
And that was Applebee's. That's Applebee's menu. And I use that example because some people go, shouldn't a restaurant have something on the menu for everybody? No. Mm-mm. No, if you're craving chicken tenders and everybody else is going to a seafood restaurant, either eat seafood or ditch them.
Mm-hmm.
Go get your chicken tenders. Go to Fusackli's. But Applebee's is the example of they have something on the menu for everyone, but nothing you really get excited about.
Mm-hmm.
It's all mediocre.
Mm-hmm.
Brinker didn't do that. They kind of held their standard. But as you have people come into these corporations that own restaurants, the people running the corporations are not restaurant people in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
They're marketing people.
Marketing
is terrible food.
Pencil pushers.
Right. This is popular. Let's put this on it. And you can see that with your fast foods, Burger King and Subway. All of a sudden, they put sriracha on
I want
on
everybody to know, we're not slamming all these places.
We're showing.
They've made some bad business decisions. I remember the Applebee's here, both of them that we had here, one on Airport, one on 90. They had karaoke. When I'm eating, I don't want to hear karaoke.
Yeah, right. I'll go to a place specialized in karaoke. That's because they were struggling.
Yeah, they were grasping everything.
I can get into the particulars of that because I worked for those particular owners. They weren't interested in the Mobile market. They didn't care about the Mobile market.
Mm-hmm.
They were forced to purchase Mobile if they wanted all those beach locations and at Ocean Springs and along the Florida coast, Panhandle. So it was a package deal. You take these and the Foley in Alabama, or you can't have any of these.
Mm-hmm.
And they spent no money on maintenance. If a store was supposed to have five managers, by rule they only had four. We'll save that $36,000 a year. If they're supposed to have 28 servers, they wouldn't let you hire more than 25. If you're supposed to have 17 cooks, they kept it at 15. Because they didn't care whether the stores were profitable or not. They weren't going to make the money as Nine Mile Road over in Pensacola, which is one of the busiest restaurants in America.
Mm-hmm.
So Brinker is the contrast of that. They took care of that. But still, they had people that got in charge of the company who were not restaurateurs. They were business people. And regular business principles do not work on the restaurant industry. Simple as that.
Got a caller. Cookie's talking about vegetarian pizza, kind of linking to earlier conversation.
Yeah.
Cookie, you're on the air.
I love a good veggie pizza, but it's got to have jalapeno on it. Ain't that right, Cookie? We're having difficulties hearing you.
Yeah, you're... Wow. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Sorry, Cookie.
Can't even hear you.
Okay. One of the things I've found as I've gotten older, getting on her thing with the veggie pizza, get a vegetarian pizza and then add a little bit of pepperoni or a little bit of sausage to it. You'll be surprised at how little you notice the difference. And it's a lot healthier that way. And then you can slip in things like turkey pepperoni, which if you're eating it straight out of the package, not as good. But on a pizza with a bunch of other stuff, it's just fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's going to cut down on fat and cholesterol with that turkey pepperoni. It does it fairly well. It does not hold in your refrigerator as long. I found out the hard way recently. Once you open that package, you maybe got a week and a half and it starts growing its own beard. But Luke loved it. But you could do things like that. You could get the turkey ground sausage. You can get the turkey smoked sausage. You could still have pizza. But like I say, you'd load it up with vegetables. And man, diced tomatoes. Why would you not put that on pizza? It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Spinach is great. Fresh torn basil. I don't like cheese pizza, but I love margarita, which is essentially a cheese pizza.
Yeah.
But they really just throw themselves into those three ingredients. Really good tomatoes or a bomb tomato sauce, fresh basil, fresh buffalo mozzarella, the stringy stuff.
Yeah.
Like Pete's dad makes for them every day at Panini Pete's.
Yeah.
Three ingredients. Those are phenomenal pizza. And I've gone into pizza places and go, do you do a margarita? No, we don't. How do you call yourself a gourmet pizza place?
Yeah, for real.
With no margarita.
Let me tell you what, to name drop here.
Okay. Drop a name.
Rich Gambino.
I know him.
Pizzeria Delfina.
Oh, great place.
I can go in there and I see a plain cheese pizza sitting there.
Because he's doing a great sauce and a great cheese.
Yeah. And you know what? He lets me put whatever I want on there.
Yeah.
So I started out with a canvas of just plain cheese. And I've got sausage, I got pepperoni, I got peppers, I got onions, and probably a little olives, and he'll throw those on there.
The olives are good.
Stick them in the oven, boom. I get two little slices, two big slices of pizza, and I'm good for the day.
And feta cheese is phenomenal on pizza. And you can use that fat-free feta because...
You're eating a pizza. What do you need fat-free for?
Well, here's the deal, man. Pizza can either be an extremely healthy meal or it can be one of the worst things you can eat. And if it's delicious, why wouldn't you want to eat it as long as you can?
Yeah.
So you lean out. Hey, every now and then, I'm going for a Meat Lovers. Yeah, I'm going to pack my veins with
corn. I want everything. Mm-hmm. I want everything on mine. You want to try the cookie again?
No, I was going to say, matter of fact, speaking of tomatoes, I got a question via text. It says, Stu, if you got lots of Roma tomatoes, what is the best way to preserve them?
Marinara. Roma tomatoes have the least amount of acidity of any tomatoes out there. They're really good for people with acid reflux. But, yeah, they'll make a good marinara or just a relish. But, yeah, just make a marinara and then jar it. Yeah. And now I'm talking the real jarring where you, you know, vacuum.
Can it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Right now is a good time to be doing that with all these fresh tomatoes coming in. Make your own marinara.
Yeah, or just, you know, crush the tomatoes, add some garlic and basil to it, and seal it like that, and then you cook it when you cook it.
Okay.
You don't have to cook it down now.
And we got Paul from Grand Bay on the line. Paul, how are you?
Paul, how are you?
Doing great. I was just coming in on your pizza thing. I'm probably going to make everybody mad.
No.
Stu. I don't know if I'm going to make Mike mad, though. I think it's almost an abomination to eat a daggum vegetarian pizza. God dang, throw some meat on there. And I don't care if it's the marinara or the Alfredo sauce. But I will tell you this. I do like pineapple on my pizza.
Me too, man.
It is good, especially if you throw the jalapenos on there, too. And this is going to make everybody mad. Yeah. This is going to make everybody mad. Believe it or not, it was my Yankee sister-in-law that turned me on to putting Catalina dressing on it, or my favorite, Creamy Caesar.
Now, the Creamy Caesar makes more sense. The Catalina actually started in Biloxi, Mississippi. I'm trying to remember. Sicily's Pizza. It was a dare on spring break with some Ole Miss students who were down at the beach during spring break. And like in the 1960s or 70s, I mean, this goes back a long time. And either Catalina or French dressing, either one of them, which they're very similar. I don't know what the difference is other than the name.
I think what it is, Stu, is that vinegar.
Yeah.
It kind of throws something in there that, you know, like don't belong, kind of like pineapple, but it does belong, you know, but yeah. I was just going to throw it out. I didn't know if I was going to make everybody mad, but I'm one of the few people that like pineapple and spices, and I mean mushrooms, too. You could throw all the vegetables.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, love that.
You know, but, I mean, I like it loaded, and maybe it's not good for you, but that's when you only eat it once a month, baby.
Right, right, exactly. Everything in moderation, including moderation.
Yeah.
All right, Paul, thanks.
You're going to start a pineapple movement, buddy.
251-343-0106.
Warm rolling sea and all my dreams. Somewhere I'd lost them. Mobile Bay, Magnolia Leaves.
Calls. Tune in to FM Talk 106.5 for Law 251.
They are the dynamic duo of dining. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Stu, I get people send me messages on Messengers about this question.
Yeah.
I want to go have a hamburger.
Okay.
And I say, hey, you want to go have a hamburger? Hey, Smashburger. You ever heard of Smashburger? Let's go get a Smashburger.
Yeah.
What the hell is a smash burger? What's the difference between a hamburger and a smash burger?
All right. Most hamburgers, cheeseburgers, we'll use our buddy Roy Seward as an example, the Butch Burger. You're very familiar. You've had one before or had 100,000 of them before. That is hand-patted but put in a ring So it is uniform in thickness all the way across.
Okay.
That's the standard way of making a burger, hand patted, you may call it. A smash burger, you start out with a meatball on the grill for about 30 seconds to a minute, and then you take two spatulas and an X and smash it down. What you get is an uneven burger, but that's what you're going for. It's much thinner than a hand patted burger, and you're going for a lace around the edges that's crispy.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever cooked a fried egg and you get that crispiness in the edge, that's called a lace there as well.
Okay.
So it's like that. Roy had a run here recently where we got some hamburger meat that for whatever reason wasn't holding together well. Well, that's a charbroiler. That's a problem. On a flat grill, it isn't. So what I was ending up with was charbroiled hand patty grills that had that lace around the edge from where the hamburger was falling apart. Probably the best burgers Roy's ever put out because it was that happy medium of both.
Mm-hmm.
A genuine smash burger is not what you get at the train smash burgers. It is from Chicago and St. Louis. They argue as to who created it. But the first thing you put on the grill is a bunch of chopped onions. You put the patty on and you smash the onions into the burger and you cook it on that side until the onions are charred. Then you flip it over.
Okay.
It's a thin burger with the onions embedded in it. And without the onions, it ain't a smash burger. It's just a burger.
Okay.
Of the Chicago St. Louis style. And I'll give you an example. You've had a Sonic burger before, right?
Right.
That's uniform thickness. They throw it on the grill. Well, now they've got these stackers that are smash style. And you could see the lace on the edge of them. They are 10 times better than what's on their menu. They are phenomenal. I probably have one about once every other week. They're so good. Slice of cheese on each one, and I get the triple. So it's just a quarter-pound patty. Really thin, pressed out, smashed out. Slice of cheese on each patty, and then whatever their burger sauce is, and that's it. So good. I mean, it's absolutely – I remember the first Sonics I went to in the late 80s. They were phenomenal. Their burgers were as good as Whataburger. They were very much like Whataburger. But they went – as we were talking in previous segments – they got bought out by a corporation that cared about profits as opposed to customer experience or quality. And, you know, you see how huge their menu is. But then you go to Whataburger. Essentially, they were putting out the same kind of burger. Whataburger is a smash-style burger because you get that thin lace off of it. So good. Really is good.
Steak and Shake has got a smash burger, too, don't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, they do a smash-style. Yeah. Freddy's,
yeah.
which is out of California. The jalapeno burger that Freddy's does is really good. Everything else, it's like they're afraid of salt. It's just so bland. But that jalapeno burger is good
mm-hmm.
at Freddy's. I love fast food burgers, good fast food burgers. Dave's Super Burger down in Grand Bay.
Yes.
Just terrific.
Yeah.
Bertier's in Citronelle. If you haven't had it, it's worth the drive to Citronelle. Either get biscuits for breakfast or a burger for lunch or dinner. They close at 6, so hurry. They're family owned. And so the family's not going to be there from 6 o'clock in the morning to 10 o'clock in the night 7 days a week.
Right.
So they do just through the dinner rush going home, and then they go home. But that's still a 12-hour
any kind of burger, whether it's uniform, conformed, or non-conformed, or smashed, or whatever, if it ain't on the right bun – it just doesn't taste good.
That was the question I was going to ask you, Stu. As far as how do you get that nice, crispy, what I call the old-fashioned, they flipped it on the grill.
The butter wheel. The butter wheel.
Yeah, butter wheel on the inside. Get some butter on it, and then just toast it. That's really good. Now, when I was at St. Louis Market, we bake this incredible bread every day called a Tolero roll. And it was essentially a good Italian bread in the shape of a hamburger bun.
Hmm.
I did not toast the inside of that. I did not put butter on the inside of that because it was an actual beautiful piece of bread. And I wanted you to have the experience of having a really good piece of Italian bread with a killer burger shoved in the middle of it. And so that one I didn't do. But at Lucky, we had that sweet sourdough bun, butter wheel onto the griddle, nice golden brown on the inside, a little touch on the outside.
A long time ago, Bowling Alley used to have some of the best darn hamburgers.
Yep.
They used that butter wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Rochelle's has something similar to that.
Yeah.
But I love that place more during the wintertime because I sit up at the bar where all the ovens are at.
They don't serve alcohol, y'all.
No.
He ain't doing that bar.
But I sit up at the bar, the little old round stools, diner stools, and stay warm right there at that bar and eat my breakfast or whatever.
Randy said he had a latte burger yesterday, and oh, my goodness.
Randy, if you are referring to the place in Hurley, Mississippi, I have been meaning to try it. But it's right next to another place that also does a killer burger. And then there used to be a place in that purgatory between Sims and Georgetown on Lot Road when I was a kid called Lot a Burger, L-O-T-T, because it was on Lot Road.
Oh.
They did a good burger. And they had also, my grandfather would drive 6 hours to get soft serve ice cream.
Yeah.
And they had soft serve ice cream there.
Soft serve ice cream at the Jade Garden in Foley. Chinese restaurant right across from the entrance of the center. Great, tastes like the vanilla ice cream is just like homemade. Just want to throw that in there real quick. But speaking of burgers,
yes,
everybody that I see on social media, especially the foodie sites, say that Double D's up there in Spanish Fort, mm-hmm. in the where the container park is.
Oh yeah, the fort.
Yeah, the fort. Everybody's raving about her burgers, Double D burgers.
There used to be, I think it was Blue's Burgers up there.
They were in there, but she's in there. They're not in there, but yeah. She's in there. She might be the only vendor in there now.
Yeah.
But she's won several awards about, you know, for Baldwin County, being the best of Baldwin County.
So when are we going to do a burger crawl?
We need to do that.
A burger crawl.
Hmm.
I did one in L.A. documented on my old blog.
L.A., Los Angeles?
Yeah,
or, oh, okay.
Yeah, the other L.A. I'm sorry, other L.A. I did one in other L.A. and documented on my blog.
That other L.A.
Yeah, went to Umami Burger. In fact, one of the places Umami I went, Burger. I took y'all to when we were there in Beverly Hills, Stout, which was the place we ate after the dinner. And everybody got chicken sandwiches because they were known for burgers, but we had burgers for lunch. I could eat a burger pretty much every meal, so it doesn't faze me. I have to control myself or I'll eat 6 or 7 burgers a week.
Ooh, that's like Wimpy on Popeyes?
Yeah. I just since I was a kid, I have loved burgers and pizza. And so that's why I get creative with them, and that's why I find healthy alternatives.
Yeah, my pizza day's today, so yeah, I get it.
At this age, I can't afford to eat 7 burgers
a week. I'm having burgers today.
Yeah.
On onion rolls.
Oh, onion rolls. Nice. Very nice.
Yeah. Little Chipotle.
But they'll be smashed burgers. I'll have to roll them in a little ball.
Yeah,
and they don't work. They don't work good on a grill. You can't smash them in a grill.
No, yeah.
Where'd the burger go?
Yeah, that is definitely a skillet or a flat grill.
Right.
Way of doing.
One day I'm gonna own a Blackstone.
Yeah.
One day I will own a Blackstone.
All it takes is buying one.
I just want a double burner. I don't want the big four. I just want to do pancakes and bacon and all that on it. Folks, get out there, support local, be local, buy local, because that's what we're all about on this show here.
Smash your burger, or don't smash your burger. We won't judge you.
Yes, we don't judge here. We're no snobs.
And great cheeses are cheddar, pepper jack, and provolone. Mobile, Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, the place that means the world to me.